And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Exciting times to be watching the sky.
That's right. And it's not often we get Harvard professors on the show, but live now from America, we have one of them who we have spoken to before, and it's all about this comet that a lot of us have been seeing. Some people say it's just a comet. Some people say alien technology. We have Professor Ave Loeb on the phone right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon, I should say. Professor, you have been watching this comet, this alien craft for a while now. And last time we spoke to you, we couldn't really see a lot of it. It has since moved closer to us. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And the good news is that it will get even closer on December 19th. It will come closest to Earth. And until then, we have an opportunity to observe it, because now it was separated from the sun by enough that we can observe it from Earth. It was hiding behind the sun when it came closest to the sun. That was on October 29th. And since then, we have started observing it. And the early images that we have indicated there are many jets coming from the object in different directions, some in the direction of the sun, some away from the sun. We don't know the origin of these jets. They could be as a result of pockets of ice on the surface of a rock that are evaporating when they get heated, warmed up by absorbing sunlight. But they could also be jets coming out of thrusters in a spacecraft. And so there is a simple way to tell the difference, because the speed of those of the material in these jets, the gas that comes out, is very different for a natural object like a comet, or for propulsion jets that we use in our technologies. They are usually the speed is orders of magnitude larger in a technological context. So we can tell the difference by measuring the speed of the jets and also monitoring the object, getting a better image of it in the coming weeks.
Is it because of that this object has actually changed direction in a strange way? It's made directional changes. Is that why there's a bit of conjecture?
No, well, it has a number of anomalies. The size of the object is that of a city. And, you know, the previous interstellar objects, there were two of them, were much smaller than that. They were hundreds of meters. And therefore, the mass of the object is a million times bigger than the mass of the first interstellar object discovered. And that's very surprising. Why should we be so fortunate to get, over the past decade, the delivery of such a huge package? We should have seen a million small ones before seeing one big one. And also it travels in the plane of the planets around the sun, which is a very small probability event. And there are all kinds of other anomalies. I listed 12 of them. Now, the question of why some of the comet experts, or most of them, argue that it must be a comet, is the reason for that is simple. It's if you think about an AI system, you know, the quality or whatever it says it reflects the training data set that we trained it on. And the comet experts were trained on data sets that involve comets in space, and these are icy rocks. That's all they paid attention to over the past decades. And my point is simple. We know that we launched technological objects to space, and I'm just suggesting that they add those objects to their training data sets. I mean, but until they do so, they will argue that any object in the sky must be a comet.
Yeah, sounds like a bit of sort of a situation of being limited to what you know and having to put it into a basket that, you know, qualifies or fits into
right.
That shape, sort of a square peg in a round hole.
You know, it's most likely a natural comet of a type that we've never seen before. But in difference from other topics that are addressed by astronomers, you know, when you observe a very distant galaxy, if you make the wrong inference, it doesn't affect society much. And therefore, you know, scientists are used to interpreting anything they see with limited data as the most likely interpretation, and they stick to that. They are not willing to entertain alternatives very often if they are familiar only with one type of interpretation. But when you deal with a visitor to our backyard, you know, you must consider the possibility of a black swan event, meaning a low probability event that has huge implications for society. Just because it has huge implications for society, that is often the practice of intelligence agencies, governments. You know, there are many events that have a low probability of happening, but nevertheless, they're taken very seriously because of their implications. You can't ignore it when dealing with, you know, a visitor to the backyard, because it might show up in your front door. Mm. So you have to collect as much data as possible, entertaining even unlikely possibilities.
So just so when you say to our backyard, I assume that you're speaking in a solar system sense rather than hitting Earth sense, yes?
Oh, no, yeah. It will not, according to its current path, it will not come closer to Earth than 250 million kilometers, okay?
So, okay. Good.
So the only concern I might have is if it behaves like a mothership that releases probes that reach us. And these could be small mini probes that we can't see from a distance because they don't reflect as much sunlight. And so I tasked my research team at Harvard on the Galileo project that they would look through the observatories that we constructed for any unusual activity near Earth.
So if 3i Atlas happens to be an alien spacecraft, you will probably get told about it. Will you tell everyone else about it, or will the rest of us just be told, nah? Or will we actually be told, hey, there's aliens and we think they're friendly, but we're not quite sure? Like, what's the next part of that?
No, well, we don't have a protocol because we've never contemplated a visit like that. I mean, governments are, you know, have plans for, let's say, an asteroid, a rock that is heading our way. I mean, there are plans to potentially deflect it or at least move populations from areas of impact if we know about it in advance. But rocks are simple to handle in the sense that we can forecast what will happen if they continue along their path. If there is a technological artifact that is functional, it could maneuver, it could have an intent that we do not figure out. And that's much more complicated. That has to be attended to by policymakers. And we are not organized for that. And I wrote a white paper to the United Nations trying to propose that such an organization will be established to analyze data on interstellar objects and decide how to respond. But all these bureaucratic organizations like the United Nations or even the International Astronomical Union, they take years to respond to a new initiative of that type. And I think we do need a wake-up call of a first encounter. And once we have a verified encounter with alien technology, and hopefully we'll survive it, and once we survive it, I think everything will change, because then the political system will respond. We will decide to allocate significant sums of money for an alert system that would warn us about an incoming threat in space. And this can be done by coming very close, intercepting incoming objects and taking a close-up photograph of them. So once we have a resolved image of the object, we can tell easily whether it's a rock or something else.
Tommy, one of the good news parts of that is for one of the plans that's been drawn up to deflect the meteorite involves sending Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck to space with it and just getting the job done. So we're fine.
We have seen that one.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Look, Professor, we could speak to you all day. We unfortunately can't due to time restrictions. You're a busy man. But Professor Arve Loeb, Director of Institute of Theory and Computation, thank you so much for joining us, and may we all be well and good.
Well, thank you so much for hosting me, and indeed, let's hope that we will not get any unwanted gifts for the holidays.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've never met a probe I like, so.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
So, you know when you do your... have you guys both got Apple phones? I should have
asked
the start you have, So you do the update that you're supposed to do because it's, I don't know, it's better for security or better for your phone or
it's
better
really
for whatever.
Good. And then your speaker doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, no, it's because it's an old phone and there's nothing we can do. And you're like, this is absolute BS. Sorry.
Yeah. Ooh, triggered. I forgot that was going to get you fired up. And really fair enough too, though, because a whole bunch of changes happen to your phone that you don't ask for. It's cool. So now I've just done one recently and there's a whole lot of like, it's like these glassy bubble sort of thing when you type in your number, all that. Hey, it looks cool, but it's just different.
Yeah,
I don't like change.
Like
don't like my change. But the other thing that has changed, now I am conscious of the fact that you two are going to turn on me here because you two are Spotify crew.
We listen to K-Rock and exclusively K-Rock.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point. But when you occasionally...
When we can't get any... No,
because then we stream it.
Yeah, we stream
K-Rock. We stream it. There's no reason.
So, okay. I, on the other hand, when I just need a break from the two of you on perhaps on a Friday morning, we'll listen to Apple Music.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
You and my grandmother.
Yeah, take that... Take your face off there, Tom. I don't need that. I don't need that judgment.
Such an easy system, Apple.
Take your face off, Tom.
Yeah.
Take your face off.
Apple Music has changed with the update that's happened, and there's been a whole bunch of changes. So now it had like
music.
Of course, it plays music, but it now does like this auto mix. So it starts playing the next song as the other ones. Like finishing.
Wow, stop it.
Crossfade.
Really?
Crossfade or whatever it is.
My goodness.
Wow, Spotify definitely doesn't do that.
No, well, I don't like it. Like, I want my previous song to finish and then I want to move on to my next song. I don't need to miss the last little notes of the song I'd been previously listening to.
Sometimes the best bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Particularly with your taste in music, when once it's ending, that's how you know that's when things are getting good. So you're saying Spotify's had this feature for like 10 years.
Forever. Oh, and you can scroll whether you want a 1 second fade or a 10 second.
I'm not comparing to your beloved Spotify. Right. I'm just saying
it's got its problems.
This is new. The other thing which I wasn't fully aware of because I'm an adult and therefore have an adult subscription. But my nephew brought this one to my attention because he also is with me. He's a cool kid, has Apple Music. He said they now have restricted all explicit content to him.
Nah, that's BS. You can't do that.
Why not? This is one I've actually supported.
No. Because kids... You grow up on, every generation has grown up on music that is considered too dangerous, too.
Oh, yeah, the parental advice recommended sticker on your,
You're going to wait till people are 18 till they can listen to an Offspring album or come on.
I don't know if it's 18. I actually haven't even looked at the ages. But no, if like a 13-year-old, do you really want them listening to F and F?
Well, sometimes, yeah, because I'm a believer in education, and music education is something that really is really, really important. So if there's an F and you're missing out,
On most occasions, that same song can be played on a radio version of it, so you could listen to the song but maybe not have...
No, there's a lot that doesn't have radio edits, particularly stuff that doesn't get played on the radio. That's where the...
Well, they take the rap out of it. It's like, you need the rap.
You need the rap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I got all my cred on the playground when I was
so
like 12.
Cred.
It was like just gangster rap. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Look, there's something to be said. There's definitely something to be said about, you know, us growing up with gangster rap. And you listen back to it now and you're like, definitely not great.
No.
But we're fine.
So, So, obviously, Kendrick Lamar, great. Mm. Brilliant artist. I agree. And you and I have talked.
Study him.
Yeah, they do.
And he's writing.
Yep, and he's writing. Absolutely. So, his most recent diss track of Drake, the Not Like Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think 10-year-olds
Yeah.
Should listen to that particular E version of it as opposed to the radio version.
Boogie man, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time. I know he got some hoe in him. Pull on him. Extort. Bully the floor on him.
Yeah, there's definitely some.
So is not 10, 11, 12-year-old better off maybe listening to that version that Tommy was just playing as opposed to the actual version?
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think it's up to you to, as a parent, swearing and things like that, everyone's different. I know people that have no swearing and not at all, and I have parents of younger kids who say, if you swear, it has to be for a very good reason, and you don't do it all the time. But if something happens and it warrants a swear, that's okay. I'm not saying either is I'm not a parent, I don't know, but I'm very big on musical education and I feel like you need the originals.
You need the original version? Okay.
You can't be banning kids from all these banning music, banning books.
I'm not trying to ban anything. I'm just saying it can be a little bit more gently introduced, and it maybe at 14 or 15 they can cop a full-on serve of whatever it is that's getting served up.
I'd say there's certain internet programs that'll serve up some things to them that are way worse. Yeah. No, but seriously,
wouldn't you want some control content filters on those as well?
If they could just control the next U2 album, that would be ideal for me. Thank you very much. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. You know when you sort of know of a celeb and their career and the work that they've done, but you don't, you sort of haven't really watched a whole heap that they've been in, so you know, like Cameron Ling.
Yeah, well, you see the highlights, but you have to follow the career.
Some of the lowlights, all that type. And then you find out something about them, you're like, oh my God, are you for real? Because that's what happened to me the other day. And I'm still not sure how I feel about it. Are you familiar with Taylor Momsen?
Yeah.
I'm not.
So the child from
Wait. Let me do the talking. Ooh. Taylor Momsen. Taylor Momsen, right, is an actress and lead singer of a band, right? So the band is called The Pretty Reckless, okay?
That's right.
Right? So they...
I don't know her from that.
Let me do the talking.
That's her singing.
Yeah. Right? So she's a rock chick.
Yes.
Not a lot of clothes, a lot of eyeliner.
Yeah.
And just a rock chick through the journey, right? She's been in the news lately because she's talked about, you know, her career and sort of her ups and downs that she's had with sort of mental health and all of that, right?
Yeah.
This is why she's back sort of in the zeitgeist. Anyway, so I know her from Gossip Girl. Now, I never watched Gossip Girl, but you'll be familiar with maybe the theme song.
And who am I? That's one secret I'll never tell. And you know you love me. So, XOXO, I'm gonna be the Gossip Girl.
Do you know who does know the theme song for that?
Hey. Cameron Lee. I know the theme song to that
one. He was miming it.
So, who is she in Gossip Girl?
Great question. Loggy, do you know the answer to that one?
Do you want to talk now? So, Dan's sister...
Ah,
yes,
little Jenny.
Jenny, do you watch Gossip Girl?
I've watched it a couple of times.
I love that Lingy.
So that's what I thought. That's what I thought Taylor Momsen was, right? Yeah. She was the chick from Gossip Girl.
Yeah,
that was in The Pretty Reckless. Stopped sort of doing acting and moved into this rock chick sort of era, and that's what she's been for like ages now, years and years and years.
Yeah.
What I found out the other day is, and this is what you're about to write at the top. Tell everyone.
Oh, hey, I'm taking this. That's why I had to intercept you
because you were going straight.
No, I get it.
You know, but I didn't know this.
I don't know.
Cindy Lou Who?
What?
Owie!
From the Grinch.
Oh, Jim Carrey Grinch.
Yeah,
Mr. Grinch.
What? The annoying
Mr.
little one.
Grinch.
Yeah,
Cindy Lou Who.
Who wouldn't leave the poor Grinch alone?
Exactly. Yeah. He just wanted to hang out with his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That's Taylor Momsen.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Is it really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I had no idea of the rock chick part of her, but certainly knew her from Gossip Girl. I would never, ever have guessed the two.
What a chameleon, hey?
Yeah.
She can do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if she could go back to being Cindy Lou Who. Certainly. She's done it all.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought that was worth bringing to the table because I'm sure there are other people out there that didn't
know
that. Tell them anyway.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure, mate.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
1 second song.
Ava joins us from the newsroom. Hey, mate.
Hi.
This is 1 second song, of course, the opportunity for Loggy to dominate and has demonstrated a complete domination all year. So we do give total credit and props to Loggy.
Well, we're changing it next year, aren't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Tom said we're changing it.
Ooh, boss man put his foot down.
We did a year of it. That's fine.
Okay.
It's nice to change things up.
A year of losing is a lot.
You give someone else a turn. Yeah.
Ava, this is where you bring in some songs for us. We get to play. Well, we play 1 second of a song. We try and just bang, get it straight away. You and I are competing, Tommy, initially.
Yes.
If we can't get it and we go to the 3 second snippet of the song, Log gets to step in there and make us look ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's the stall gift of radio games. That's right.
And I've got a bit of a theme today. Yeah. So we're doing artists that are currently touring in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Narrows the field.
Nice.
Interesting.
Okay. Mind is racing.
I know this might be hard for me to get a point today. I reckon you boys will be on it.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a listen. Here we go, Lingy. Question number 1 second of what is this? Oh. Do you know, Log? I don't know that one.
Puffing Billy. okay, go 3 seconds.
Okay, ready? And this means Loggy's in the game.
Yep.
Loggy.
Yeah.
It is Olivia Dean, Nice to Each Other.
That is correct.
If I come to
Italy, we could be nice
to each other. She performed at the Arias last night. And she is amazing.
She's just doing the one show in Sydney at the Opera House.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
And coming back next year for that
big
tour.
For that big tour.
And I don't think I was the only person who fell for it and thought that those dates were for this year.
Yeah. It was all a bit confusing for people. Yeah.
My mind just went to another place because I was like, that's Fleetwood Mac. And
if they're touring, I missed that.
They're not touring.
I wish.
Did you know that from the 1 second or?
No.
No, okay, cool. All right. That makes me feel better.
A couple points to you, Log.
Okay, here we go. Question number 2, 1 second of what's this?
Oh, another little
teasing
intro.
I'm so sorry. it's a bit of a
You've got to go 3 seconds.
Hang on, wait, let's 1 second. No, I don't know why I did that. That's not going to help at all. Okay, here we go. 3 seconds of what is this?
Loggy. It's Sam Fender.
Yes.
And it's...
It's the one song I've heard us play on K-Rock by him.
It means...
5, 4, 3...
Oh, Tommy's going to jump.
2...
Old Swooper.
1... People watching.
That is
correct. Sam Fender,
yes.
People watching.
Yes. And Ava went to not one... But both of his gigs.
That's why I was going to say I should have known Sam Fender would be
in. Yeah, me too.
Just a subtle way to sneak that in.
Is that a point each for those two?
I would give them a point each.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
We never know.
But I like your chances with the next one, Lily.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Ava.
Here we go.
That's okay.
Here we go. So Bill Haley in the comments. Yeah. Here we go. Question number 3, 1 second of what's this?
Lee.
Oh, I knew it.
Thunderstruck. Thank you for letting me be part of the game.
Okay.
I do appreciate it.
So everybody scored. And in fact, because you got that on 1 second, Loggy wins. You were close second and I bring up the win. Is that right? Pointless wise?
We all win.
Hey. Oh,
wonderful, wonderful edition of 1 second song. Thank you very much, Ava. We'll play again next Thursday.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.